Brothers and sisters, please pray with me. Almighty, all-knowing Father, we confess to you that sometimes we let our knowledge and our understanding puff us up and take our focus away from you. Deflate us. Bless us with your Holy Spirit that my words would be yours and that our hearts, our minds, and our lives would become what you want them to be. Father, together we pray. Amen. So I'd like to ask you, if you have it on you, to pull out your cell phones. If you leave them in your backpack or at home, don't worry about it. You'll still get the point. But if you have it on you, pull out your cell phone. And I want to ask you to open a messaging app. It doesn't really matter which one. It can be Gmail. It can be Facebook Messenger, iMessages, whatever you have. Open up that messaging app. Now, I want you from there to click on a message thread. It doesn't matter which one, just preferably one less interesting than the sermon so I can have your attention back afterward. And once you're there, click the reply button. Now listen to this next instruction kind of carefully. I want you to back all the way out to your home screen, but I don't want you to use the button that is built into the messaging app. I want you to use the button that is built into your phone. The one that's there no matter what app you have open. For most Androids, it's in the bottom left. I have absolutely no idea where it is for Apple devices. And once you're back to the home screen, you can go ahead and put your phone away. I'm ready to make my point. So, how does the phone know? How does the phone know how to go back using that button? Because no matter what app you have open, it always knows how to go back just one step. Well, in application development and software design, apps are actually broken up into things called activities. So for a messaging app like the one you just opened, the inbox would be one activity, a specific message thread would be another one, and then a reply would be another one. In a gaming app, you might have like a home screen activity, an inventory activity, and a loading activity. Now, when you navigate between those various screens, your phone doesn't actually close any of them. It just kind of stacks them on top of each other. Which brings us to that back button, because when you hit the back button, all your phone does is pop the top activity off so you can see what was underneath it. Pretty cool, right? It's okay. You can be honest with me. It's not that cool. It's not particularly useful or interesting. It's certainly not going to change how you use your phone or your apps. But for a software designer, it comes in real handy. You see, the knowledge is good at times and for certain people. But for you and I, we just need to know how to push the button. And here on campus, I think we struggle with this in a little bit of a different way when it comes to our theology, when it comes to our discussions about all of our knowledge, when it comes to our discussions about church tradition. We think it's useful and interesting, so we're willing to go on and on and on about it, but the reality is that people sitting there listening to us, they might be bored and waiting for us to get to a point. They might actually be mad at us for wasting their time, and they might feel like we're being a little condescending, much like some of you, I'm certain, felt when I was explaining the phone. You see, all that knowledge that we accumulate while we're here, it's good at certain times and for certain people. But in reality, we really just need to know what our faith rests on. And you might want to stick up for that academic theology, for that background knowledge, that historical minutia that you say is essential for the understanding of a given passage. But the reality is our faith doesn't rest on any of that. And with that in mind, I would like to invite you to look around the chapel today. Look at your friends, look at your family, look at your professors and your classmates. And I want you to think, what are they passionate about? What excites them about theology, either in the classroom or in the church? What are they more than happy to go on a tangent about? As I look out on you guys today, I see some of you who, it's church history. It's the church fathers. You are happy to talk about them for as long as people will let you. For some of you, it's the grammatical fineries of Greek and Hebrew. For some of you, it's church tradition and worship. For some of you, it's faith and politics. We all have that thing. And as I look out, I see recognition in some of your eyes as I say these things. You're like, oh yeah, I know exactly who he's talking about. But I want to take that and I want to turn it inward. So I'm going to give you a few seconds, and what I want you to do is think reflectively. What is that passion for you? Now, holding that in your mind, I want to be very clear. I'm not trying to say that any of those things are inherently bad. But it's at this point I'd like to direct you to our text for today, to Paul's words for us today. He says, "Brothers, when I was among you, I resolved to know nothing except Christ and him crucified." Now, does that mean that Paul forgot all of the substantial knowledge that he gained as a Pharisee, or all of the wisdom that he accumulated as he was working in all of the churches? I'm not thinking so. You see, what Paul is saying is he resolves to know nothing except Christ and him crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins for the faith of the people to rest on. So that's my challenge for us today, for you today, is that thing that you're passionate about, don't let it overshadow Christ crucified and risen. Because at the end of the day, when you take everything else away, your faith isn't going to rest on your knowledge. Your faith is going to rest on Christ crucified and risen. And it's at this point I want to direct your attention to the worship handout, to the image printed there. A lot of you will recognize it, especially if you've applied for any scholarship since you've been here. It's a transcript. It's a little bit smaller than the one you see on your computer screen, but it's a transcript. And as you look at that transcript, I'm sure it brings up some sort of emotion in your mind. Maybe it's one of confidence and pride, because you're proud of your transcript. You're proud of what you have accomplished here. But maybe it's a reminder of your shortcomings. Even if your grades are fine, maybe it's a reminder of that historical class where you weren't able to engage with the discussion about the early church. Maybe it's a reminder of that exegetical class where the professor brought up ancient syntax and you were just totally lost. Maybe it's a reminder of the systems class where you ran out of breath trying to pronounce all the Latin terminology. Or maybe it's a reminder of that practical class where you were just completely out of your comfort zone. Now, whatever emotion that transcript brings up as you look at it, as you think about your own transcript, I want to bring you to Jesus. I want to bring you to the man who sat with people, not highly trained academics, not theological, deeply religious people. He just sat with people in their homes, around tables, under trees, in the fields, on shores, and taught them in parables. He spoke to them in the language of their lives. He brought children before him. Not genius children, not theological savants. He just brought children, and he said, "Be like these guys." You see, Jesus, he didn't always wow people with complex arguments. He didn't convince people with dissertations. Did he have the knowledge to do that? Absolutely, obviously. But instead, he spoke to them in the language of their lives. And that's what I'm calling us back to today. So whether that transcript in front of you brings up maybe some prideful confidence or a reminder of your shortcomings, I want to bring you back to Jesus and the simplicity of Christ crucified and Christ risen. You see, because that's what Paul's getting at today. He's deciding to rest his faith on that. He's deciding in the midst of his brothers to say, I'm resting my faith on Christ crucified and risen. And again, that is my challenge for you today. So with that in mind, let's cling to that. I want you to direct your attention to the bottom of that graphic. There are two rectangles. One says hold on and one says let go. So the next time you get the chance, maybe when you walk to class, or maybe once you get there, I guess writing while walking can be dangerous. In that let go square, I want you to write something that you're passionate about or something that you struggle with, maybe to the point that it overshadows the gospel of Christ crucified and risen. I want you to write it down. I want you to tear that box out, and I want you to toss it in the recycling because your faith doesn't rest on knowledge. If you're feeling really dramatic, you can throw it in a bonfire. And in the other square, the one that says, hold on, I want you to write, Christ crucified and risen is enough. And I want you to tear that square out, and I want you to put it in your wallet or in your backpack or on your dashboard, somewhere where you're going to see it again and again. And every time you see it, I want you to remember that that's what your faith rests on. Christ crucified and risen is enough for you. Amen. Now may that simple understanding and knowledge of Christ crucified and risen keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives in him to life everlasting. Amen. Please rise for our next hymn.